Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey there, this is Brittany Luce from NPR's It's Been a Minute. KQED's podcasts like The Bay, Bay Curious, Mind Shift, Right Nowish, and more all tell the stories of the Bay and beyond with reliable, human-centered journalism. They aim to inspire, make you think, entertain, and expand your understanding of the place you call home. Here's how you can support podcasting at KQED.
Showing your support is easy, and you can join Brittany in supporting KQED Podcast too at donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.
From KQED.
Hi, this is Alan Montecilio. One thing we love to cover here at The Bay is how people participate in democracy, especially at the local level. We've talked about protesting, about working at the polls, even running for office for the first time. Well, there's a unique form of local democracy that's been going on in Vallejo for nearly a decade. And it has to do with a specific, kind of wonky, but super important part of our government, and that's the city budget. The California State of Mind podcast from Capital Public Radio and CalMatters recently looked into this story. And for today's episode, I'm going to hand it off to them and their hosts, Nicole Nixon and Nigel Dwara. Thanks for listening and stay with us.
Hi, I'm Sasha Coca, host of the California Report magazine. Every week, we bring you stories about what connects us in the giant, diverse Golden State. Because what happens in California changes the world.
I love this place. We were once seen as like the place to be, California. The land of milk and honey. That's where you go to Sunshine State. But we just have challenges right now.
KQED's California Report magazine. New episodes drop every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Avery Truffleman, host of Articles of Interest, and I've got to say, I've been a fan of KQED ever since I was a little kid, and I would come out to San Francisco to visit my grandma. It was just what we'd always turn on every time we got in the car, every time we were making dinner and turning on the radio. It was always KQED. And then over the years, I've become a massive fan of KQED podcasts because this is local reporting at its best. These are answers to questions you've always wanted to know, interviews with exciting, unusual voices, necessary journalism, all told with love and care and artistry. And did you know that a majority of KQED's funding actually comes from members? It's just people like you and me supporting the programs they love, while also getting access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. If you want to sign up and be a part of this amazing community, visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to become a member today. That's podcasts with an S. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.
California State of Mind from Cap Radio and Cal Matters. I'm Nicole Nixon.
And I'm Nigel Dwara.
So, Nigel, if your city leaders asked you how you would spend millions of tax dollars, what would you suggest? Something like a shiny new sculpture?
A shelter for the unhoused?
How about a big public swimming pool?
Well, that's a question that more city governments across California and the rest of the country have decided to start asking their residents, from Los Angeles to Sacramento, and even an elementary school in the city of Merced.
It's called participatory budgeting. It's where residents propose and directly vote on actual city services and infrastructure.
So today, we're going to take a long look at this process and how it's played out in the first city in the nation to have adopted it citywide, Vallejo. Cap Radio News and Features editor Pauline Bartoloni became a little obsessed with this democratic experiment. She covered it as a reporter for Cap Radio back in 2014, and it's taken on a new significance with racial justice movements and equity discussions. Pauline joins us on the show today. Pauline, welcome.
Thanks. Glad to be here with you guys.
So, Pauline, how exactly does participatory budgeting work? And for the sake of this episode, can we shorten participatory budgeting to just its initials, PB, because it's kind of hard to get that word participatory out?
Well, yeah, thank you. That'll make it easier for a lot of people. So PP can take a lot of different forms. For cities, it can involve a very small portion of the city budget, like $1 or $3 million. And residents will be invited to propose specific ideas about how to spend it, maybe in an assembly or a public meeting. And folks can throw out anything, any idea, like cleaning up the park in their neighborhood or restoring a historic building around the corner from them. And in the case of Vallejo, the ideas are vetted over several months, like 9 months. And in the end, all the residents are invited to vote on the projects in a public election, like ballot and everything.
But isn't that why we elect people in the first place? Like, aren't city council members and their staffs the experts in these things? And frankly, isn't that what we pay them for?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, Nigel. Proponents say, though, that this is a very direct form of democracy, where people can feel some closeness with city government and get a better understanding of how budgeting works, and maybe feel a little ownership over their tax dollars. If people say, hey, I voted for that park in my neighborhood to be cleaned up and it actually got renovated, they can feel part of that.
So, Pauline, why are you looking at this now?
Well, PB has been around for about a decade, but there seems to be more interest in doing PB around cities in the U.S. now. Sacramento is about to launch its version, so is Los Angeles. And the impetus has really been recent conversations around economic justice, inequality, and defunding the police. I thought it would be a good time to just look at a city that's been doing it for a while to give the new cities a sort of lessons learned playbook. So let me set up the scene first. Vallejo is a medium-sized city in the San Francisco Bay Area, and not only is it very racially diverse, it also has an interesting cross-section of society. It's a Navy town. They had a large base that closed down in the 1990s, and there's also a strong legacy of public sector unions. And more recently, artists and transplants from other more expensive Bay Area towns have been moving there. But everyone felt the pain during the Great Recession in 2008, which sent the city into a bankruptcy. Longtime former resident Marty Brown said home foreclosures were rampant and morale was really low at that time.
You know, people were leaving in droves. It was constantly being talked about.
Back then, Brown was a local activist pushing for things like public access to the waterfront. And she didn't like the way Vallejo spent money. She had learned about a city called Porto Alegre in Brazil, actually, that was using PB. And she thought, this is what Vallejo needs to heal after the bankruptcy. So she ran for city council.
My thought process was, as we were, especially after I got elected to office, was how do you get people re-energized and re-engaged in their community, reinvested and loving, if you will, their community enough to stay committed, and help them be part of the rebuilding process.
So when Brown got elected and made the pitch to city council, it wasn't an easy sell. PB would use part of a new sales tax, which the mayor at the time, Osby Davis, didn't like. He and others thought any new revenue should go to meeting basic needs after the bankruptcy, like funding infrastructure and public safety. Here he was back then.
Now is not the time to engage in a new philosophy about how we spend the monies, especially when we're hurting so bad that we have our staff working double and triple time. We've taxed them to the max. We've asked the public to accept sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. And yet we're sitting.
Councilmember Brown really clashed with this mayor. She said the feeling at the time was elected officials know better than the people what the city needs. And there was a fear that the public would vote on so-called unicorns and rainbows, like superfluous projects.
So, Pauline, what happened here?
Well, PB was voted through by a slim margin, and Vallejo got nationwide attention for it, actually. The first year, the public had more than $3 million to play with. I talked to a man named Nestor Aliga about this time. He's a leader in Vallejo's large Filipino-American community and a veteran. He was pretty excited about it.
Like most people, I said, you know what? This could be interesting. It's a way to engage more people in the city process. That is also has a backing of some financing, if you will.
Back in 2012, Aliga was a facilitator at the initial brainstorming assemblies, actually.
It was fun. We had everybody put their ideas on a white sheet of paper with yellow sticky notes. And some people came in with no notes, and some people came in with typewritten ideas.
And Pauline, you actually covered one of these brainstorming sessions, right?
Yeah, I did. Actually, that was back in 2014. It was at a local school gymnasium and dozens of people were sitting at lunch tables. Actually, here's a snippet of a report I did about that back then.
The crowd breaks up into small groups.
My name is Stacy. We have...
each with a volunteer facilitator and note taker.
Vince, Carl.
My proposal is... street lighting.
I kind of want to piggyback on what was on the ballot last year, the outdoor fitness equipment at the waterfront.
Okay. Say a day use area for the homeless, like what kind of, can you elaborate a little more?
The renovation of the Herbert House at One Kentucky.
That sounds so foreign now, just strangers sitting next to each other and breathing and talking.
I know, right? But, you know, this could still happen over Zoom, right?
Yeah, so I want to hear about what actually made it to the ballot in Vallejo.
Okay, well, the first year, Vallejo residents had 33 projects to choose from. Things like a weekend flea market, a blues festival, outdoor fitness equipment on the waterfront. Voters 16 years and older, actually, could take their pick of six projects on the ballot.
Well, that's kind of cool. I mean, I wouldn't mind like a free beer giveaway in my neighborhood, and I know I can get the votes.
Yeah, Marty Brown said the first year the ideas were pouring out of people, and they didn't really have to deal with a lot of red tape and what she calls government killjoy, but that all started to change, actually.
Oh, no. What does started to change mean?
Well, the second year, the national nonprofit that ran the process in the beginning, they left, and the city was now running the show. So Brown says the city was scrambling to figure out how to make the projects work, and they realized things had to be done differently.
Some things kind of got a little away from them, and staff started to realize how difficult this was going to be. And as a result of that, came up with stricter rules for the next year. And I could just see, you know, I would joke with people like pretty soon it's going to be PB Light.
PB Light. That does not sound as good or as fun. What were the sticking points here?
Yeah, well, one major challenge was preventing what's called a gift of public funds. Basically, doling out taxpayer dollars to individuals is illegal in California. And Vallejoans were proposing projects that would, you know, maybe employ them to build a sculpture on the waterfront, for example. And that would be a conflict. I talked to Liat Meitzenheimer about some of the other snafus. She was on the steering committee as a resident in the early years. And she sat through hours of meetings with city officials trying to figure out how to bring projects to fruition. And she felt over time, the city made it clear they supported projects that could be managed by the city or involved city property.
The city was pushing back on a number of the activities I proposed because they're saying, no, you can't really prove that it's going to involve, you know, everybody in the community. And so the rules started changing. And so we had a big fight over our new rule book, trying to come with some consensus about what we could live with and still have PB.
And Meitzenheimer said eventually, it felt like government officials and residents just weren't on the same team.
It felt like they were telling us what to do instead of asking us how we could make it work. It just seemed like the city wasn't interested in putting that kind of time and energy in it anymore. And so that was the big fight, was because that was the whole point of getting the city to work with the community to get a common understanding of how city budgets work.
Well, we got to take a break. But when we get back, we're going to hear why supporters of PB still love it, right?
Yeah, I guess it kind of depends on how you feel about potholes.
More with Pauline coming up after this break. It's California State of Mind from Cap Radio and Cal Matters. I'm Nicole Nixon.
And I'm Nigel Duara. We're here with Pauline Bartoloni, Cap Radio's news and features editor. And we're talking about what happens when citizens get involved in making decisions about the city budget.
Pauline, you focused on the city of Vallejo, which has been experimenting with this for many years now. You told us all about what people were proposing and what went on the ballot, but we didn't hear about what actually got voted in.
Okay, so this is where it gets really complicated, or where it gets surprising, to me at least. The first year, 12 projects were voted through, and the top vote getter was, well, take a guess.
I don't know, school band instruments?
No.
The flea market?
No. Potholes. Well, the paving over of potholes, to be clear. It got like twice as many votes as anything else, more than $500,000. And it wasn't only popular the first year, it kept showing up year after year in the next five rounds of PB in Vallejo.
I mean, are the roads that bad there?
Well, I personally didn't notice that Vallejo's roads were worse than any other city, but there is something called the Pavement Condition Index, or PCI, that governments use to measure the state of roads. And Vallejo got a 51, meaning half of its streets are either in poor or very poor condition.
Isn't fixing potholes a part of the regular city budget, though?
Yeah, it is, actually. And this was really a huge frustration with some of the people who are very involved with PB. Like, this process is supposed to be for icing on the cake projects or aspirational, creative projects, not meat and potatoes or things that the city already funds.
The potholes is a really classic example of what was wrong with PB in our city.
Okay, this guy sounds like he has an opinion. Who is that?
Okay, so that's Tom Ari Donch. He's a public sculptor in Vallejo. He proposed a project that would pay artists to paint murals and electricity boxes around town. He calls PB a rigged system. Kind of harsh words, I know, but here's what he meant by that.
Whenever you have voting, you deal with a certain segment of the population, which is a minority, who really understands the candidates, really understands the issues. It's like, pick your favorite musician. And you got Bon Jovi, and you have Madonna or somebody like that. And then you have Joe Schmo, who's a really good corner musician. Well, the people who live near that corner musician are going to vote for that corner musician, but most of the people won't know them, and so they're not going to vote for him. You know, potholes has to do with everybody.
Tom felt like he had to compete against potholes or the popularity of potholes when he proposed his public art projects, but he did manage to get it through voters that year. Here's how he did it.
We ran it like a political campaign. We were out there en masse. People were out on farmers market. We had booths. When we did fairs, we had it going that way. You know, at the time, the Arts Alliance had about 110 people that came to the first meeting. And so many of those helped out by manning the booths, by putting posters up.
You can still see the public art done through Donch's project in downtown Vallejo. But he says he wouldn't take part in PB again. Partly because he feels that lesser-known projects that may have had a tiny budget are at a disadvantage to big-ticket items like fixing potholes.
Pauline, there has to be some reason, though, why people keep voting for potholes over and over again in Vallejo, right?
Well, I asked a long-term resident named Pelton Stewart this question. He was a steering committee member for a long time as well.
I was excited about all of it except the potholes. Potholes wore me out.
Okay, so he wasn't a fan of street repair either, but he did give a great explanation for why people care about potholes.
Because it affects all of us financially. Wear and tear on our cars and us. The image of the community. We had the president of another country come to Vallejo. And, you know, we literally sat here and were concerned about what route he was going to have to come here because it'd be so embarrassing. If he's driving up to the front on Santa Clara and he's bum, 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 because the roads were that bad. So when I bring my family here or, you know, have guests that come, you want them to see a nice bedroom community, working class folks, not trying to be, you know, Beverly Hills, just working class folks that take care of their stuff. You know, that's the image that I want to project. And potholes is the indicator of neglect.
No matter what the reason is why people want potholes, you really can't dispute that in this process. At least that's what Nestor Aligo told me. He's the veteran and the Filipino-American activist we heard from earlier. He said the whole idea of PB is to increase community participation.
You cannot, you know, say, well, you know what, that idea, we're going to shut that down because it's a city project. Some people would probably say, well, now you're cutting me out. So, you know, it's a two-edged sword, if you will.
Pauline, so to Nestor's point, what has PB done for community engagement?
Well, Aligo says PB may have increased political participation among specific groups, like Filipino-Americans, for example. He said there may not be a direct correlation, but maybe in the last 10 years, he's seen more Filipinos on commissions and in elected positions in Vallejo.
It's possible that PB had something to do with a, awakening of some of these Filipinos or giving them a taste of what city government is like, that it's not as bad or as tough or as hard as people may think.
And more broadly, he says that it may have helped people of different communities co-mingle with each other, like get to know each other, whether they be from the labor community, an artist, or a military veteran.
So it sounds like the benefit of participatory budgeting may be more than just about what gets funded.
Exactly, Nigel. That's what I found out when reporting this. I was really interested in the projects, like, wow, why are people voting in potholes? But as I was reporting, I realized that it's more about engaging people, creating transparency in government. I talked to Marty Brown about this, actually, and she said PB is about helping people just understand how government works.
People got up at the podium the first year and said, I had no idea like how complicated it is to get stuff done because you're using public money and it's our money. And so today I think there is maybe more of a heightened understanding among those who are engaged in PB and engaged in government of how complicated government really is and how much oversight there is to make sure that we are transparently and honestly and ethically spending your tax dollars.
Pauline Bartoloni, CAP Radio's news and features editor, thank you for giving us a window into local politics in action and this experiment with democracy and budgeting.
Thanks, guys.
California State of Mind is a collaboration of CalMatters and CAP Radio.
It's produced by Jen Picard and edited by Randall White. Antonio Munez and Chris Feltz are our engineers.
Sally Schilling is our executive producer. Mark Jones is the technical director.
Chris Hagen is our digital editor. Margarita Noriega and Chris Bruno are our masters of marketing. Our social media is run by Emmy Gilbert and Courtney Fong.
Nick Miller is editor at CAP Radio, and Joe Barr is our chief of content. Dave Lesher is editor at CalMatters. Our theme song is Mellifera Ligustica by Isaac Joel. Thanks for listening to California State of Mind. See you next week.
Hey, what's up? I'm Erica Cruz Guevara, the host of The Bay. Donations keep independent journalism alive and healthy. And you support outstanding journalism when you support KQED. So if you haven't yet, check out donate.kqed.org/podcasts. That's donate.kqed.org/podcasts with an S.